Hello and welcome back to the Scottish Curling Podcast with me, Peter Joyce, Digital Lead at Scottish Curling. Firstly, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has listened to our first two episodes. Both Jackie and Hammy were fantastic guests and we're glad you seem to be enjoying hearing their stories as much as we were. This week we have something a bit different as we speak with now Academy Manager but one time Star of the Ice, Scott Andrews, specifically about his experience at the 2014 Olympic Games in Sochi. We talk cruise ship hotels, cycling to matches, and of course, the glory of bringing home a medal. It's just me this week as CEO Vincent Bryson enjoys a well-deserved bit of time off, but I'm sure he will be listening along. Here we go, me and Scott Andrews. So you find out that you're selected and the team are selected to go to Sochi. So what does the build-up look like for something like an Olympics? What's different between that and your run-of-the-mill championships?
To be honest, not very much. At the start of the season, you still do your competition schedule. We knew that we were going to the Europeans. We actually won bronze that year. And then, yeah, it's just trying to work out the holding camp before we go to the Olympics, which was in January. We actually had our holding camp in Stirling. So it didn't really feel too much like a holding camp because we were just doing what we did every day. But we got our kit down in Loughborough and we actually got that the day that we came home from the Continental Cup. So we flew home from Canada straight to England and got the kit. And then, yeah, it was just kind of like that normal build-up for the season.
Does the preparation not start to feel different when you get that kit and you see the... And you see the union flag on the kit and the Team GB and you're meeting other athletes, I assume. Does it start to kick in that this is real and it's different and it's something that, you know, you've probably watched since you were a little boy, you know, going back? Does it start to feel different at that point at all?
Yeah, definitely when you get your kit, it's that like, oh, this is something different. But it's the same when you get your Scotland kit as well. It's always that exciting. It's like Christmas, you've got new kit, presents, like what's this kit look like? What outfit's this for? What day is this we have to wear this? So Team GB have like a colour of a day, so like you know that every single day you've got to wear either blue, white or red. And you know, it's just really exciting when you get that and the preparations then begin. And as you say, meeting other athletes at that kitting out day. And I actually met some of the athletes. So I met Lizzie Arnold in 2012. We were part of the Team GB Ambition programme. So we had went down to London and got to the games and stuff like that. So I knew Lizzie Arnold before we went to the games, which was quite nice. But yeah, meeting the other athletes, just hearing their stories around how they got selected and stuff, it's really exciting.
So, you know you're going. There are probably easier places to get to than Sochi in Russia. What's that experience like in traveling somewhere that's new and a different part of the world? How does that go?
Yeah, like we flew down from Edinburgh down to London and then met the whole of Team GB down there, the cohort that was going out at that point. And it was a direct flight, British Airways flight from London to Sochi direct. So it was quite an easy flight. And when we got there, you know, there's a big team of Team GB staff already out who go out weeks before to prep everything for us to make our experience as hassle-free as possible. So yeah, it's not really any different in of traveling to Canada. Like we traveled so much competing in Canada 5 weeks at a time. You know, we were used to traveling. So a four-hour flight to Sochi was fine.
And what is Sochi like? You know, is the world's obviously changed a lot since you went there 11 years ago now. But what's Sochi like as a place?
Making me feel old.
What is Sochi like as a place? What is it? Is it a culture shock, or does it feel like a home away from home?
So it was it's very much a summer destination location in Russia. It's seen as a holiday destination, and when we were there in February, it was 24 degrees. So we were quite lucky that our balcony looked out onto the Black Sea, and I came home with a suntan from the Winter Olympics, which is pretty special. And you know the mountains, they were trying to preserve snow because it'd been so warm and things. So it didn't necessarily feel like a Winter Olympics because you were in shorts going into the arena, and then obviously you're curling, coming back out and sunbathing for the rest of the day because you had a one game a day.
This is probably, I probably sound a bit like an amateur here, but having never been to an Olympic Games, do you, is it the kind of thing, do you take your family out with you? Is it all work, all go, or is it different at being an Olympics? And is it the kind of thing that you feel like you've reached the pinnacle, so you want to take everybody that's kind of got you there along?
Yeah, so we were lucky enough that all our family members came out, and they actually all stayed on a cruise ship. So because there's no real accommodation in hotels, like the organising committee had put on cruise ships to come and dock. So they all had like hotel rooms on a cruise ship, and it was just really good that we scheduled in. Like we had quite a long schedule, so one game a day kind of thing. So we scheduled in time to go and see our families so that we had that downtime and keeping it as real as possible and celebrating with them. And you know, it's as much for them to go and enjoy the experience as for us. We had them, they got to go and see other events and meet other parents as well. So they kind of lived their own Olympic journey, which was quite cool to see as well.
And of course, when you're at the Olympic Games as an athlete, you're in the Olympic Village. Does that bring a level of inspiration, or is it just like being in university halls and a bit boring?
Well, I was never at university, so I can't comment on that. But you know, it was bigger than I was expecting. I think just the size of the whole complex, how many apartments there were, the food hall. We actually ended up hiring bikes so that we could get from our accommodation to the food hall to the rink. It was probably a 25-minute walk. But you know, in preparation for the game, it's easier to have a 5-minute cycle along the road. So it was definitely bigger than we imagined, or I imagined, and the food hall was just incredible. Like the amount of food that was in there, like you would sit down and with a plate full, and you'd thought you'd seen everything, and then like Greg or Mike would come back with something completely different, and you're like, where did you get that? So, and obviously there was a McDonald's there as well, which I enjoyed the coffee.
You say that it's massive. Is there a part of you that's thinking, you've reached what is essentially the sort of the top of the sport, and yet you get here and you feel such a small part of it, I would imagine. If you're one person amongst thousands and thousands of people, is that overwhelming? Does that take time to get used to? And you're trying to find your position in things.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones that you kind of accept that everyone's event's slightly different. Like there's some people that were in Team GB even that had like 30 seconds and that was their Olympic Games, whereas we are very lucky in curling that our event isn't just one game. It's a full 10 round robin or 9 round robin games, and you know, you just kind of appreciate others and kind of learn their stories and just chat to them, and it's all about learning from others within that environment and just kind of appreciating every event's different, and yeah, it's just kind of soaking it all up.
Is there a level of support amongst each other? Do you feel like very much like you're a part of a bigger team, not just, the five of you that have gone out to curl that week in those few weeks? Do you feel part of that bigger team?
Yeah, like as I said, the Team GB kind of set it up really well. The one team aspect of we all sit together at the dinner table. So even though we're in that massive food hall, anyone with a Team GB kit would come and sit with you. And then again, that's when you get chatting. But so we were lucky that we had the figure skaters and the speed skaters in our accommodation. So we got to know them quite well, and I still keep in contact with a couple of them as well. I was actually just at the Youth Olympic Games with Richard Shoebridge. He was coaching the speed skaters out there, so it was good to catch up with him there. But you know, it is definitely one team. You feel part of a bigger team. Like we were, because we were the coastal village, that was where the medal ceremony was for all events. So we were able to go and watch Lizzie Yarnell get her medal, which again kind of spurred us on a little bit and inspired us to kind of push on in our events. So yeah, it really, really nice to be a part of the bigger team, but there's also times that you still felt like, right, okay, it's curling time and that's fine, but always tried to touch base with people at dinner time and breakfast, etc.
Yeah, so that first game sort of comes round. Can you take us through what that morning and then the whole day sort of looks like? You know, because I know you're saying you've got your curling hat on and you're ready to go, but it's an Olympic Games. It's got to feel different. There's got to be something about you that you see the Olympic rings. There's so many more fans, I would imagine, coming to watch than perhaps you're used to at sort of game one at a international championships. So what does that day look like? How does it go from waking up in the Olympic Village to stepping on that ice?
Yeah, I think to the best of our ability, we tried to keep it as normal as possible. But as you say, it is an Olympic Games. There were nerves. There was a little bit more excitement than maybe normal. But we had practice ahead of the event starting. But we played Russia game one, and I think we were very fortunate to play Russia in that game because the crowd wasn't necessarily a curling crowd. So they were maybe cheering at things that, when we were blanking an end, they would cheer, thinking it was a miss kind of thing. So, you know, in that sense, we were kind of lucky because eventually I think they were able to realize that they were cheering at the wrong times and ended up where they were cheering during Russia's shots, and not just against us, but against other teams. And then they were like, oh, that's actually making them miss shots. So, you know, the crowd for us was a huge part. And again, having our family in the crowd was just fantastic to live that. But yeah, game one, the nerves were certainly there, and I think if I remember correctly, I hit the hack with my outturn draw in the first stone, so maybe a little bit of nerves there.
But take us back a step where, you know, you're in the Olympic Village. How does that whole process work? You know, is it just sort of standard? Did you take the bikes over? Are you bussed over? What does that
No.
look like? Because
So there,
it must be different, because it's like a traveling circus has come to a city for a month, so.
yeah, like we got there was a lots of security, so we had certain entry points at where we can enter and players' entries and stuff like that. So we took the bikes over, I believe, and just parked them up and went through the players' entrance into our dressing room, had our pre-game chat, and just tried to treat it like any other game, and we actually started off the week pretty well. We went 5-0, I believe, and then the last four games kind of turned a little bit, but obviously got there in the end.
Is there not an element of that do you ever look at each other and go, this is a bit surreal? We've just jumped on our hire bikes and we've cycled over to an arena
In
in
24
Russia
degrees.
in 24 degrees to compete at an Olympic Games. Is there a moment that you look at each other and you think, what's going on? How did we get here? Or is it the most normal thing you've ever done?
Strangely, it felt pretty normal. You know, it's just, yeah, just out with your best mates and just cycling along and sun's shining and you're going curl. So it just happened to be the Olympics.
And there's no time during that you start to think, you know, there's millions of people watching back home. You know, you go back to Rona in 2002 and everyone gets curling fever, and you know, it's well known in the community that every 4 years we get this real bounce around viewers. Do you start to think about that at all? Or is it just is a what is so important about getting to that level, being able to shut that out?
Yeah, I think it comes down to experience. So obviously, like playing Scottish Championships, TV cameras were there. Playing at Worlds, TV cameras are there. So to the best, like we try to just treat it like any other event. Just yeah, the cameras are there. There might be millions watching when we're playing at Worlds. We don't know. So it's trying to keep that as normal as we can and just keep thinking about, yeah, we've done this many times. We've done it in three world championships ahead of the Olympics, so you know we were used to that. The only difference was the media attention that maybe was obviously increased a little bit, and obviously as we went further in the stages of the event, you know, that kind of picked up a little bit, and we all took the decision to stay on social media throughout it. We didn't necessarily post, but we were reading some of the comments, and you know, for us it was very much that brought us together and gave us a little bit more confidence when we knew the support was there from back home as well.
How do you cope with that media attention? Because, you know, it's for me, it feels like it would be something that could easily start to build and start to add pressure that you don't necessarily want. Do you lean on each other, or do you, is the support from the Team GB network what's most important?
Yeah, I think we all kind of took our turns of speaking to the media at different pipe points, and you know, like if someone wasn't really feeling to speak with them, then that was fine. You know, we just kind of supported each other through it, and I think we the media just really kicked off after we were successful. It could have went differently if we weren't successful, but you know, we were very fortunate that the media was right behind us the whole time, and it was a very good experience for me.
So you talk about being successful, but in that sort of classic British stroke Scottish way, you make it as difficult as you can. So you win those first five, and then the following four, as you put it, go another way. So it's Norway in a tiebreaker. And you're down 5-4, and you're going into that final end. So again, I know you've said it's just another day at the office. It is what it is. You've cycled in, so clearly you're the calmest five guys in the world. What are you thinking at that point, though? Because it's all on the line, one end of curling.
Yeah, we had belief that we'd score two. And as the end was shaping up, it kind of turned here and there, and then we were left with either a double run back double or a draw to the forfeit for one. And we had a chat, we had a timeout, and we knew the stats that if we were to go down the extra end tied, then we'd like I think it was like an 18% chance that week of teams stolen the last end. So, you know, we were then weighing up, is there more than an 18% chance of us making this shot? And we truly believed that we would make it. And yeah, it was a pretty remarkable shot from Dave, and Greg's line call was great, and obviously me and Mike swept it. So real team shot, and yeah, it kind of was pretty special.
So do you think really what the vital thing is that at all times you just fall back on what you've been doing for the not just the 4 years but the you know the 20 plus years of curling that you've had and the training everything you've been working on just to keep that in mind and not be overwhelmed by the situation?
Yeah, I think it's definitely down to experience, and you always learn from different shots. So we actually had the same shot that Dave threw in that tiebreak game we had it against Canada in the round robin, on the same sheet, on the same kind of line. It was a different shot, but it was that same up weight down that centre line, and you know we missed the line call by like a mil, and we lost the game, and that was maybe something that we actually then learned from and took into that tiebreak game that we knew, okay, we've seen this line before, and we then made that shot. So yeah, it's all about learning, all about experience. Obviously, Dave had been at multiple Olympics ahead of it, so for myself, Greg and Mike and Tom, it was a new experience. So yeah, it was just trying to live off each other, be there for each other, and just enjoy it.
Is missing having missed that shot something that you would mention at that exact time? Or is
No.
it internally you all know we've been here before, let's not be here again?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more like you're in the moment, and then potentially between us, we maybe discuss, right, this is what we think the line will do. But probably internally, we all kind of knew what the shot had been in the past. But for us in that moment, it was more a, are we willing to have it in our own hands? And I think having a shot to win is a much more comfortable feeling than standing back and hoping that your opposition is going to miss down the extra.
And then, you get through, and then semi-final, Sweden, bit of a legend on the other. I get up against you on the other side. When you find yourself at the same score going into the final end as you did in the playoff, do you start to feel like it's meant to be, and do you really start feeling like it's meant to be when Nicky Dean makes a mistake, which doesn't happen very often?
It's funny because we've again made our probably a questionable tactical call in the eighth end, which probably you would look back on now and think, why did we do that? But we were confident being one down with playing the last end, and all you need is that one mistake, like you said, and edge of four out turn when he released it. I kind of stood at the hog line and like watched him for a bit, and then I turned my back and walked towards the hack because I thought, well, this is wide. And then I heard the brush bang from Nicholas, and I was like, oh, we've got a draw to the 4th foot here. And I'm not going to lie, my feet then started to shake a little bit because it's like, oh, this is real, and trying to like calm myself and not thinking, right, cannot oversweep this, Scott. This is like, yeah. Dave's going to throw it close. Don't mess it up.
And when the team makes it and you've done it and you know you're going to be playing for gold, what's the instant emotion like? Because you hear all the time, and we've spoken to Jackie on this podcast about it, and is it pure elation or is it relief at that point?
I think it's just like, yeah, wow, we're in the Olympic final. We've got our medal. The silver medal is always a hard one because you lose a final to get your silver. So it's trying to treat that semi-final of we've just won our silver medal. So yeah, I think it's just that we're coming home with an Olympic medal feeling. It was just like, wow, what have we just done? Dave actually really hurt my neck. Because if you watch back the footage, he has his arm around me in a kind of headlock, and I'm trying to get away, and he just keeps holding on to me because he's so excited. And yeah, it was a remarkable feeling, and it still hasn't really sunk in 11 years on that we've got an Olympic medal.
What's that night like? Because you've got the elation of having, like you say, you've guaranteed yourself a medal at an Olympic Games. You've just won this absolute nail-biting match against a legend like Nicky Dean, and then you've got to try and not come fully back down, but you've got to try and relax and get back in the mode of championship sport. So what's that evening like in the days built, or how long was the gap between that and the final? Was it a
Good
couple of
question.
days? Yeah, I think it
A
was a
day,
couple of
maybe.
days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's that like? What's that process like where you're trying to be proud of what you've done, but know you've got business still to come?
Yeah, like we spent time seeing our family, celebrating a little bit with them and just chatting with them. Then we kind of went back, had dinner, and then try and just relax, see the physio if we need to. We went in and watched the girls' game. As well, and it's just trying to treat it as okay, let's just prep for another game. Like we'd been in a couple of world finals a few years before, so it's again just relating to what we've done there. And at the end of the day, it's just another game of curling.
And of course, when you look back on that final, it doesn't go to plan. What's your emotions when you think back on both that game and then, as a result, the tournament as a whole and your Olympic Games?
Like I'm super proud of what we achieved. I think to come home with a medal on our first attempt at, or for four overs, our first attempt at the Olympics is just remarkable. Obviously going into the final, personally very disappointed that didn't perform to the best of my ability, and you know that will always sit with you. But it's sport. You have good days, you have bad days, and it's that one result. You know, we've still got our medal. So, and it's that mindset of we won our silver medal in that semi-final, not we won it the silver because we lost the final, kind of thing. So it was hard to take for a while that we didn't perform and give our best performance in that final, which is a shame. But we're still super proud of what we did achieve as a team for that 4-year cycle.
And of course, you've then got the medal ceremony and standing on that podium. Is that an opportunity to reflect on how far you've come in your curling career, or is it just entirely overwhelming that, you're at an Olympics, standing in front of the flag on a podium? Is it even possible to take that in?
Yeah, like I think there was a ceremony straight after the match in the arena, and we all kind of came together and yeah, we were all disappointed, but we're like, look, we've just won a silver. Let's be super proud. What an achievement. So we didn't probably dwell on it too much, and then we got our medal the next day, and again, that was a bit of a build up. We did some media throughout the day, and yeah, then got our medals, and it was just again trying to soak up all that experience because you never know when your Olympic Games is your last Olympic Games, so it's trying to just take it all in as best you can.
Do you feel like being an Olympian changes your life? Do you feel like it puts everything into perspective a bit differently?
Personally, probably not. I don't think I've really changed from being at the Olympics and being an Olympian. I think if you speak to anyone, I never mention it.
That
I'm
is
not one
true.
to.
I do say to people, sorry to interrupt, but I do say to people, if you didn't know Scott has an Olympic silver medal when you joined Scottish curling, you would never know.
Yeah.
You've never mentioned it.
Yeah, so I don't think it's changed me as a person.
There must have been some moments though when, certainly when you got home, there must have been things that happened that you thought, this is strange. There must have been, you must have met people, there must be things that happened as a result of that Olympic medal that.
Well, the one amazing thing that's happened since then is I am a pointless answer.
Tell us more.
So I think it was maybe a year after the Olympics. One of the categories was Team GB medalist from 2014, and pointless answer, Scott Andrews. So I actually did an interview with Sky Sports just after the Olympics, and I made a joke at that point and said, "Well, at least now I'm going to be a pointless answer." Because no one ever re really remembers the front end, so I can't remember who. I think myself, Mike, Greg, were all pointless answers.
I was going to ask. I would like to think if you're a pointless answer that you weren't the only one in the team that was a pointless answer. That would have been
Yeah,
both
there's a few of us.
horrible
We're all
and
pointless.
something I couldn't understand. But absolutely not. Although a few skips I've had on here might have agreed with that, but. That's a different argument for a different day. So, Scott, thanks for taking us through your Olympic journey. There are some questions that we ask everybody that comes on this podcast, some quick fire questions. So I'm going to ask you them now. Stone colour, red or yellow?
Yellow.
Toughest opponent you've faced?
Glenn Howard.
And why? I'm always interested in the why.
Beat us in the world final. Just, yeah, always had our number.
Funniest teammate and why?
Greg Drummond, that is. And I don't know, he's just one of those,
Just makes you smile.
just makes me laugh.
I think this is probably an easy one, but a moment you would relive again if you could.
The feeling of winning that Olympic silver medal in the semi-final against Nicholas Adine.
and sometimes controversial, certainly if you're a fan of the Grand Slam. But blank ends, yes or no?
Yes.
Well, you may have seen that I am a big fan, so I would like nine blank ends in a single. That's my dream. But
My lowest score was 2-1 in a 10-8
perfect,
game.
beautiful, perfect curling, Scott.
Scottish Juniors actually against Greg Drummond. I played with Glenn Muirhead at the time, and yeah, Greg, we're playing against Greg, and I think they took a one in the first. And then blank, 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 blank. We took a one in the 10th and they took a one in the extra.
If you could find the video of that for me, I would like to watch that many, many, many times. That's just me. I'm a bit strange like that. Oh, Scott Andrews, Olympic silver medalist. Thanks for joining us. And there we have it, the story of an Olympic Games from a man who lived the dream. Thanks to Scott for joining us and for taking us through his Olympic journey. And thanks to you for listening. Please do continue to share the podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. And please also leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We will be back next week, but until then, bye for now.